This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Cooking right along with the top down and the breeze whistling past his hairy, slightly pointed ears on a fresh new mission, feeling fit and frisky in the warm early spring afternoon, Dangerfield, the account man, the closer, motored into the valley at the wheel of his beloved MGA, a classic like its driver.
All I knew at the beginning was that the first two nurses assigned to the professor hadn't lasted 12 days, and now it was my turn.
Those were the first lines from two new novels by local authors. The first was from Castle Freeman's The Devil in the Valley, and the second was from Stephen Kiernan's The Hummingbird. How can you beat a great first line? It sucks you in, makes you keep reading, propels you to the next sentence and the next. Even more key, for me anyway, is the final line of each chapter. I think I'm going to stop at the end of the chapter, turn in for the night, and then that last line just leaves me hanging and I have to keep reading. Today on the show, we're going to celebrate first lines, last lines, and every word in between. It's our annual winter reading show. I'm joined in the studio by Josie Levick, co-owner of the Flying Pig Bookstore in Shelburne, who was also the voice behind that second reading we had, the one from Stephen Kiernan. Hi, Josie. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Joining us from the Upper Valley is Liza Bernard, co-owner of the Norwich Bookstore. Welcome, Liza. Nice to have you.
Nice to be here.
Hi, Liza.
And you two know each other, right?
We do. I love Liza.
Oh, yes.
We see each other at book trade shows, and it's always a fun Vermont reunion.
Is that a thing, like bookstore owners just, you know each other, especially if you're local, even if one's in the Upper Valley one's in Chittenden County?
Because we have a listserv through our trade association, so we know each other through that, and then we love getting together when we see each other at various book events.
It's so, Liza, no competition?
No competition. No. It's a very small, very supportive community of booksellers.
Well, fabulous. Well, let's talk about some of the books that you guys are reading. Maybe you've talked about them already at the trade shows, but I want to hear them for all of our listeners. And let me recommend to our listeners, you know how this works. You've probably been doing this with us for the last 8 years. If you want to recommend a book that you've read or one that you're really excited about, maybe you haven't even read it yet. We've gotten a couple of recommendations from listeners who are just so excited about a book on their list that they want to tell us about it. You can, too. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211, or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Liza, is there one that you have in your head that is just so exciting you want to kick off the show with it?
Sure. For fiction, if that's where we're starting, the new Colin McCann book, which is 13 Ways of Looking, it starts off with a novella followed by three short stories and is just a really exquisite piece of writing. It's intimate, it's heartbreaking, it's personal, it's just really amazing.
Oh, that sounds great. And you've read it?
Oh, yes.
How many of the books do you read, Liza? We ask a lot of the booksellers, like, do you read these books? Do you read the first few chapters and put them away, or just, you know, look at the back covers and hope that they're good?
All of the above. I am I am a voracious reader. I read several books a week, and it's sort of my sanity outside of the store.
Wait a minute. Your sanity outside of the store is reading books?
That's why we own bookstores, Jane.
Exactly.
We're self-medicating with what we know is healthy.
Can you read the books when you're in the shop, though, or are you just so busy doing stuff that that's not a place to read?
No, reading in a bookstore is a fantasy that non-bookstore staff has.
And reading in a bookstore means you're about to close.
Because you've got nobody there.
Because you have no business. If you have time to read at a bookstore, something's grievously wrong.
Oh, well, my whole fantasy is shattered here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And we blow that fantasy for a lot of people. No, you read on your spare time.
Josie, yeah. What are you reading then on your spare time? What do you want to recommend?
Well, you know, actually, I want to talk about Sweet Pea and Friends and the Sheepover because it's such a phenomenal book.
And this is John Churchman.
John Churchman and his wife.
Local photographer, farmer,
self-published a book. Elizabeth and I blog for Publishers Weekly. She did a blog.
This is your co-owner.
This is our co-owner at the bookstore. And she did a blog about it for PW because we blog every week for them. And he got an agent, a six-figure, three-book deal. And it's a great book.
Okay, well, start at the beginning for people who haven't been following the story, because John has been putting stuff up on his social media pages, Facebook. Sweet Pea is a sheep.
Sweet Pea is a sheep, and it's about this little sheep. And it's a simple story, and it's the art is gorgeous. It's photography, and everything about it just works. And for a self-published book, you know, Liza, you back me up on this. How many self-published books have you seen that they're a little kind of cringeworthy, and you think, good story, but, you know, the art isn't working.
Or you needed an editor.
You needed a copy editor, an art editor. everything this man did was perfect.
Yeah, I'm really excited that he got picked up by a major publisher so he can be appreciated by a much, much wider audience.
And his book was so good that Little Brown, who's his new publisher, doesn't need to change anything. They're doing a 100,000 print run that will be ready the beginning of December.
Which is tomorrow.
Actually, next Tuesday. Okay. But we have copies that John's been selling. And he has a little calendar now. And it's just a great Vermont. He lives in Essex Junction. Mm-hmm. And he's a nice guy. And it's a gorgeous, great book for any age range. Because it's a sweet story. And the art is fabulous. And yeah. It's a Vermont story. And there's something lovely about that.
So from what I can gather, it's sort of childlike in the same way that book was, maybe 20 years ago now, where A Moose for Jessica,
I think it was called.
Where it was a true story and told in photographs and story about this moose that came and visited this cow in Vermont, and it was this sort of
And then they
friendship.
Fell in love.
Yeah, it was a love story. And this is sort of similar in that it is sort of childlike in that way, but
could
be liked
by anybody.
Huge appeal
for everybody. Yes. Any animal lover will like this. Anyone who likes, if you have family out of town that loves Vermont, this is a great gift book. It's a great little hostess book. And you're supporting a Vermonter who's just made it. And that's not easy to do. And
Liza,
there's something really fun about being sort of helping him get his new career going.
Are you on board with that too, Liza?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to add that unlike Moose for Jessica, which was a really sweet story and really sweet pictures, the artwork in this is really lush and gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Because he is a photographer.
Yeah. Yeah. It is quite wonderful.
Oh, that's a great recommendation. It's called Sweet Pea and Friends.
Sweet
right?
Pea and Friends, The Sheep Over.
Right. It's the beginning of a 3-book series.
Yeah,
so there's more.
There is more. There's 2 more, and I think he's well on his way with the other 2.
Listeners, if you want to weigh in, maybe you have an animal book that you're a particular fan of. I mean, there have been several over the last couple of years.
I'd like to weigh in with an animal book.
Yeah, weigh in.
It's a book called Counting Lions, and again, it's geared towards kids, but it's really an all-ages book. It's nonfiction as opposed to the Sweet Pea book, and it's an oversized picture book, just 40 pages, and the illustrations are incredibly lifelike, and they're done all in charcoal. They're all black and white.
Absolutely stunning.
And it's got the 10 endangered animals, and it's got information in the back, but it's not heavy-handed, and it's just a beautiful coffee table book in the guise of a picture book.
Hmm. And what age group is it geared towards? I mean, it sounds like it could be a counting book, but it's not.
I would say 3 to 103.
Yeah, I
would
agree.
What do you think, Josie?
I totally agree with you, Liza. It is one of the most visually stunning picture books I have ever seen. And I've been selling books for 20 years. It's just gorgeous.
Huh. Yeah. Counting
Lions.
Stopping as we go by it when it's on display. We all stop and just take a minute with it. It's just an amazing book.
Wow. Counting Lions. It's by Katie Cotton. And listeners, I should let you know as well that we will compile a list of all the books that we're talking about because it goes as we gather more books and more listeners, it gets very fast paced and it can be difficult to remember the ones that you wanted to remember. So we will put a list up this afternoon.
And if you're driving, it'll be on the don't try and call your bookstore while you're driving. Some of you just put the phone down. Wait, because you're all calling bookstores now. Just wait until you're safe. So that's my cautionary tale.
However, if you are safe, our number is 1-800-639-2211. It's 1-800-639-2211. Or, of course, you can type in your recommendations, go to vpr.net and click on Vermont Edition. Nichol is calling in from Guilford. Hi, Nichol. Nice to talk with you.
Hi. As always, this comes down to the issue of so many books, so little time.
Mm-hmm.
But it being the end of fall, I'd just like to mention a couple of books by 2 Vermont poets. The first is David Budbill published a very nice book a couple of months back. It was entitled After the Haiku of Yosa Busan. Now, if you know David's work, you know that much of his work is influenced by Eastern Chinese and Japanese poets. And he also often writes poems that are, quote, after another poet. That is, his poems use a poem by another poet as sort of a starting point. Anyway, this new book is a collection of some 200 short poems, which are after the haiku by the Japanese master Yosa Busan. Anyway, really lovely, lovely stuff. It also appears David has a new book coming out next year. I'm really looking forward to that. But to change gears completely, I also want to mention the work of another of my favorite Vermont poets, Walter Hard. If you don't know his work, as a bit of background, for many years he and his wife owned the Johnny Appleseed bookstore in Manchester in the middle part of the 1900s. And he was famous, most famous as a columnist for Rutland Herald and Manchester Journal, most notably for Vermont Life magazine. His poems are sort of, I guess you would say, vignettes, sort of like almost short stories in free verse, centered in Vermont village life, sort of from the early part of the last century. They're humorous, touching, again, lovely, lovely stuff. Now, one issue here is that, as far as I know, none of his books are actually still in print. So if you want to find any of his books, it'll probably involve digging around, but I've had a lot of luck finding them in the used bookstores. But in any case, I think it's well worth the effort. And as a final aside, Jane, I'll just suggest that maybe Vermont Edition might want to consider a segment on his work sometime.
Nicol, thank you. I appreciate the recommendations you have for readers and for us. So I will look him up. Walter Hard and David Budbill is who Nicol recommends. Also, I would put a plug in there for Major Jackson's book of poetry that came out this year.
Stunning collection.
Roll Deep, it's called. We had him on the show a couple weeks ago. You could go back and listen to that. You can hear him read a few of his poems. That was a really wonderful collection. I really enjoyed reading that book and talking with him. A great person to talk to about his work and what inspires him. So it was really, really wonderful for me. It's, again, called Roll Deep, and it's by Major Jackson. Let's go to Francis in Cambridge, New York. Hi, Francis. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
I just want to talk about an author, Louise Penny. She's a Quebecer, and she writes in mysteries, but she's a wonderful writer beyond that. Her latest book is The Nature of the Beast, and it's concerning the rocket installation that used to be in Beebe, Vermont in the 60s, I think. And it was always a mysterious place, but she turns it into a greater mystery. Anyway, she's got a lot of books out there, and they're all great.
Francis, thanks for the recommendation. That was Louise Penny's The Nature of the Beast. It's the latest in the Inspector Gamache series. And Francis, you may want to go back again and listen to another Vermont Edition segment that we did with Louise earlier this year, this summer. She was trying to go around Quebec and show off places that inspired some of the fictional places in her series. One of her most famous towns where a lot of the action takes place in these series is called Three Pines. And so she's been showing the real places of Three Pines. And one of them is a bookstore called Brome Lake Books. And that's sort of her model for the bookstore, Myrna's Bookstore, if you've read the series in these Inspector Gamache series. So we went there and talked with her there. Thank you for that recommendation. If you'd like to share your own, our number is 1-800-639-2211. 1-800-639-2211. Or send a few lines. Tell us why you love a book, why it's worth reading, and post it on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Susan says, I can't wait to listen to this show. I'm always looking for new authors and genres to read. And she recommends a few books, including Russian Winter by Daphne Calotay. She says it's a story of a former Russian ballet dancer who finds herself overwhelmed by memories of her homeland, her career, and perilous escape to the West. And also The Physic Book of Deliverance Dane by Catherine Howe, a story that brings forth the Salem witch trials back to the present day. Its portal is a young Harvard graduate student. It's a novel that moves between contemporary times and one of the most fascinating and troubling eras in American history. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. It's our winter reading show today. Josie Levitt of the Flying Pig Bookstore in Shelburne is having a little trouble with her headphones here.
There we go.
And Liza Bernard of the Norwich Bookstore. Luckily, Liza, you have it all pulled together, I imagine. They're sharing their recommendations and filling us in on what's really selling at their shops, and we're going to get into some of that in just a minute. And listeners, you can tell us what's floating your boat. Call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211, or post your notes on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Liza, give us another book that you are loving or that's really selling well.
Well, there are actually two cookbooks that we are very excited about. Actually, there are many cookbooks, but I narrowed it down to two for today. The first one is Food 52 Genius Recipes, and the subtitle is 100 Recipes That Will Change the Way You Cook. And truly they are. What the author has done is gone through other people, some of the master cooks in the country, actually in the world, I think, and chosen some of their secret recipes and tricks, and ways of looking at food, and for the foodie in your life, that it's an amazing book. My husband is a chef or a cook, has been professionally for 30 years, and he found things in here that he just can't wait to try. And then on the other side of the scale, there's another cookbook that's called Mark Bittman's Kitchen Matrix.
Have you been in our cookbook section? These are exactly the ones we have too.
They're both
fabulous,
amazing books. And the Matrix book is for aspiring cooks in that it's simple, but it's not dumb. And he's got different ways of approaching a single dish, like, I don't know, 12 different guacamoles or 13 ways of cooking chicken wings. And so you can go into your pantry and say, okay, this is what I have. What can I do? And I showed it to my daughter who's home from college. And she said, well, this is how Papa cooks. And this is great because now I don't have to keep calling him all the time.
Oh,
he's going to be disappointed with you showing her that, though.
but it's for the cook who needs inspiration and doesn't have the resources that some people have to draw on. It's an amazing book.
So, Liza, the Food 52 Genius Recipes, the one you mm-hmm. mentioned first, that you said even your husband, who's been cooking for a long time and has worked in that field, has found some special tricks. Can you give one away that he can you remember?
Do you want me to help?
I did bring the book. What did you find, Josie?
Making crepes from tortillas.
Oh, okay.
That's a fabulous one. And then also dry brine turkey and then broccoli cooked forever, which actually friends of mine have done, and they said it turned out great. And Food 52 is new to me, but I've been following their blog. It's a very good cookbook, and it is a somewhat – some of it can be high level, but it's really good food, and it's interesting food. And the chefs whose recipes are in there are just fabulous chefs.
Yeah.
And these are sort of secret recipes that they do in the restaurant that they don't normally put in other cookbook collections.
Hmm. Like the first one, I just opened the book up, Roasted Applesauce from Judy Rogers. No cinnamon, no cloves. It's straight apple. But it's how you cook the apple that makes the difference. And it's tricks like that that people in professional kitchens know, but those of us at home might not.
Hmm. I'm curious to try this broccoli cooked forever because it seems like the opposite of the cookbook that came out a couple years ago by Molly Stevens,
right,
a local author, which was flash roasted broccoli that I've been making now for
hot
since that came out.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
425, you roast it for like 20 minutes and it's fabulous.
It's so good. And you can do it with cauliflower.
Yep.
Mix it up, make it pretty.
Yeah, you can add a little lemon.
Yeah, that's a great recipe.
It is a great recipe.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, so now I feel like I've got to try the opposite end of the scale and just cook it forever and see how that goes.
It turns out well. Can I talk about a gift book?
Of course.
There's the Harry Potter fully illustrated, fully unabridged Sorcerer's Stone, which is it looks like a storybook. It's oversized. It's absolutely stunning. And at first, when this book came out, we all thought, oh, God, they're just milking the Harry Potter series. Mm-hmm. This book is a gem for anyone who loves Harry Potter or for a child who's maybe 10 and hasn't read it yet, but you want something that you can read together as a family. And what's stunning about this book is all of the art is truly unique and doesn't look like the original illustrated book. You know, doesn't look like any Harry Potter book or the movie. So I don't know how this illustrator did it. And it's stunning. And they've just done a really good job with it. And then this is a great guy gift. I don't mean to be sexist, but the Essential Scratch and Sniff Guide to Becoming a Whiskey Know-It-All.
I like whiskey. That
it's
could
great.
Be good
and
for
what's
me.
Cool about this, too, is it's edited by Rux Martin, who is a Vermonter. And it's literally a scratch and sniff book. And it teaches you all the different kinds of whiskeys. So you can learn more about whiskey, because whiskey is kind of sexy right now. It's hot. And it's a fun book to give someone who thinks they know everything about whiskey, because there's a ton to learn. And it's just a fun, you know, there aren't any adult scratch and sniff books anymore. And it's just fun.
So is it scratch and sniff like the way that if you want to be a wine connoisseur or a coffee
yes.
connoisseur, you need to know what the elements
exactly.
are?
Exactly. So it talks about this is an oaky one. This is a smoky one. This is whiskey that's been aged X number of years. And you scratch and you smell it. And you're like, okay, so you're learning very elemental things, but in a very fun way. And it's presented in a way that doesn't sound elitist. So it's accessible to everybody.
So scratch and sniff, but probably not a good one for your 5-year-old.
Not unless you want them to go know all about whiskey.
Liza, I mean, a couple months ago, maybe 6 months ago, we were talking about one of the things that was maybe baffling to some bookshop owners and booksellers, but was just flying off the shelves were these adult coloring books. Are mm-hmm. you seeing those, or are you seeing anything like that that's this sort of pop-up trend that seems to be really popular?
You mean other than the coloring
books? Are they still selling really well?
Oh, they're still selling.
They're selling. Are yours flying off the shelves, Liza?
Oh, yeah. And colored pencils to go with them. And
crayons.
There are fun ones. There are serious ones. There are complicated ones. There are simple ones. They are all over the place, and they just keep going.
One thing I will say that this just popped up for us, Liza, and maybe this is happening for you, adult dot-to-dot and not erotic dot-to-dot, which is what I was like, we could get that for you, but...
There is erotic dot-to-dot?
Yeah, this is another story. I have a joke about it. Yeah, there is, actually. But this is 1,000 dots, and it looks like a beautiful picture. And someone just ordered some, and someone overheard her ordering, and so now we're going to start carrying these, because apparently this is the next hot thing, are these dot-to-dots.
Well, it's the same kind of place in your brain that you go to. It's a meditative kind of a doodle thing. We also are selling books on the opposite side of the line of the coloring books, and that's color outside the lines too. Yep. So basically, doodle books that the doodles are started, but the person takes the doodle in their own direction.
Huh, sounds fun. It's sort of the infantilization of adult. I guess maybe that's what all of our hobbies have always been.
So we had a customer say she drinks less wine when she's coloring. And I thought there's something so wrong about that sentence. But she loves them. Everyone's happier for them. And they're giving them as gifts. And they make little pocket sized ones now. I mean,
Our managing producer, Patty Daniels, executive producer, went and got a gift for a friend and then said, wait a minute, I like this so much. She got herself an adult coloring book this weekend. So
you
got
to honor that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't knock it.
Why not? Yeah.
Let's go to Phil calling in from Burlington. Hi, Phil. Go ahead. Are you coloring?
Well, I like to, but I have a recommendation from my teenage daughter that I got for her at the Flying Pig.
Oh,
great.
The Bone Gap. Oh. She absolutely adores.
Oh, Phil, we lost you. Are you still there?
Oh, you're back.
You're back.
For a YA gift this Christmas.
Start over, Phil. We lost you for a second. The Bone Gap.
Oh, sure.
She says what?
The Bone Gap. I absolutely love the book.
Fabulous. Thank you for that. Who's the author? Do you know, Josie? Are you remembering?
I'm blanking on
Well, we'll find it. We'll put it at vpr.net. It's The Bone Gap. Let's go to Beth in Rutland. Hi, Beth. You're on.
Hi. Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
I don't know if any of you are missing Oliver Sacks.
Oh, desperately.
Yes.
Well, anyways, you have to try his autobiography, On the Move. It's a wonderful autobiography, and I didn't realize the man had done as much as he did in his life. It's a great book. So if you need a fix, try to read that.
Yeah, that was called On the Move by Oliver Sacks. Beth, thanks for the recommendation. And you may remember Oliver Sacks. He was the neurologist who wrote The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat and a ton of other books. Really wonderful writer. And if you're interested in hearing his voice, one of the last interviews he did before he died, he had a terminal cancer, I believe, was an interview with Radiolab. He was a frequent Radiolab contributor, and he did a wonderful at-home interview where he talked about his life. And his life had a lot of hardship and sadness in it, and it's really interesting to...
We also had a lot of humor and warmth.
Yeah, well, that's what I found so interesting. This is a man who had such compassion for other people and warmth and humor, and in his own life, he suffered from a lack of love for a very, very long time and had all of this love for other people. So, yeah, I'm with you, Beth. I really am saddened by the death of Oliver Sacks, but really pleased that he left behind so much wonderful writing. Josie,
I just have a couple books for teenagers, picking up on that one theme. Infinite In Between. We get a lot of customers who come to the bookstore and say, you know, he's 15 or she's 16, and they're reluctant readers, and they don't know what to get. Carolyn Mackler wrote a book called Infinite In Between, which is told from five kids' perspectives, and the perspectives are all unique, and they meet the first day of freshman orientation in high school, and you follow all the kids through all 4 years of high school, and It packs a lot of really good themes in, but it's a very quick read, and it's just immediately accessible. And there's something lovely about that. And then Willful Machines, I loved. I'm not a huge fan of fantasy dystopian novels, but this one is set in an elite boarding school where the president's son is attending, and the son is closeted. So it's interesting to sort of see how he deals with that. And there are machines that develop artificial intelligence and start attacking the students, and no one quite knows why. So it's a good mystery. There's also a love story. It's just really well done. And a lot of adults are reading young adult books, and both of these would be suitable as crossover books.
And I promise we haven't paid Josie and Liza to talk about things that relate to things that we're doing here on Vermont Edition. But if you're also interested in young adult, you should check out Dorothy's List. It's our monthly book club for young readers. And it's based on the books that are nominated for the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Children's Book Award. And Amy Noyes, the reporter who does the series, goes out and interviews kids and then takes those kids' questions to the author. And so the author answers the kids' questions. It's a really wonderful series. And you can find it at vpr.net. If you would like to weigh in with your book recommendations or anything that you've heard on Vermont Edition that you really loved, our number is 1-800-639-2211, 1-800-639-2211, or post a note at vpr.net. Just click on Vermont Edition. Paul in Hinesburg has his eye on Do No Harm, Stories of Life, Death, and Brain Surgery by Dr. Henry Marsh. Paul says, reviews suggest it's an honest overview of a medical career from a perspective later in life, when the author can say what he wants without fear of consequences. I plan to buy it for a retired physician in the family and for a future doctor who's still in college. And Paul also recommends The Runaway's Gold by Emily Christie Barak. A New Hampshire author tells a story loosely based on her family history of a young man's migration to the United States in the 1840s. It's young adult fiction that delivers a history lesson in a fashion that I can devour. Ariane says, I recently finished another great YA science fiction book, Nomad, by William Alexander, who teaches at Vermont College of Fine Arts. It's a follow-up to his 2014 book, Ambassador, and it picks up right where Ambassador left off. It's about a young boy who is chosen to be Earth's galactic ambassador, except, of course, he can't tell anyone, and he's facing his own family issues at home. I highly recommend the series. One more, Janet in Randolph Center says, I have fallen in love with the book of Western writer Ivan Doig and have read them all. Unfortunately, he died in April, but his last book came out in August, The Last Bus to Wisdom. It is vintage, exquisitely written, funny, poignant, and a page-turner, one of his very best efforts. And let's go to Susan, calling in from Wells. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
I'm calling with a first-time author. It's a young adult that came across my way, and it's written by a young man, Alan Ciccarelli, and it's entitled Personal Vendetta, a coming-of-age story where a young man seemingly has it all and then has to decide between this vendetta slash vengeance and forgiveness for things that have gone amiss in his life. It's very interesting, very poignant story from a young man's point of view.
Susan, thank you for that. Remind us the title and the author.
It is entitled Personal Vendetta, and the author is Alan Ciccarelli.
Susan, thanks for the recommendation. Appreciate that. It sounds wonderful. And how about Rick calling in from South Burlington? Rick, what are you thinking about and reading?
Well, first of all, hello, and I'm calling to talk about a really difficult book to read, and I just thought that it might be worth calling in because, although it's an incredibly difficult book to read, it happens to be, for all of us as citizens who worry about our country and our democracy, one of the most important books that's come out in a long time. Its title is Affluence and Influence. It's by a Princeton political scientist named Martin Gillens. And at the end of a bunch of research about policy issues, almost 2,000 of them, that have come up in Washington over the past 40 years, he has taken it and he has said, whose preferences, through polling data, do these policies aim toward satisfying? Is it the preferences of the top 10% amongst us, or over all these policy issues, do they serve the 90% of the rest of us? And his conclusion is that whenever the preferences on these policy issues differ among the top 10% of us from the remaining 90%, there is zero statistical correlation between the policies that Washington is doing serving the interests of the 90% of us.
Rick, that sounds... Yeah, that sounds interesting, and I appreciate that. Affluence and influence, and I appreciate the recommendation. And Liza, I'm curious to hear from you. I mean, we are heading now into a presidential election season. It's not even 2016 yet, but we're in it. And there are a lot of autobiographies and biographies of candidates out there. It seems now like a prerequisite. You have to have written a memoir before you can run for president. Are they selling more than usual now that people are starting to get interested in the campaign season?
Not really.
I would agree with that.
I think it's what people are reading that's real important is the Ta-Nehisi Coates book, Between the World and Me. And they're reading another important book on a completely different topic, but it's important, and that's Being Mortal. People are reading hard, important books, but not necessarily the glossy biographies.
Yeah, so maybe not the candidates' stories about themselves, but more about politics and policies and culture.
The world, yeah, trying to get a grip on what's going on around us.
The nonfiction that's flying out of our store shelves is all the stuff written by musicians right now. The Elvis Costello, the Patti Smith, and then there's also the one that was written by Mary Louise Parker, the actress, Dear Mr. You, Elizabeth, who owns the store with me, loved it and said the writing was fabulous. And I think she was really surprised to like it as much as she did. So we have a little bit of, we're selling, we sold Being Mortal. I mean, everybody loves that book and everyone should read that book.
I don't know that book.
Oh, it's by, Liza, help me out.
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, Atul Gawande.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And so is it a medical history book?
It's a medical book, but it's also sort of why doctors treat themselves differently when they have cancer than they treat their patients. And it's a great book to read if you or anyone you know has gotten a cancer diagnosis, because it's very honest. And it's not brutal, but he tells these stories and he's so heartbroken for some of his patients and he cares so much. And you it's a fabulous book and it's a great discussion starter in a family.
We got a note from Chris, who also recommends that book and says it's a must read for anyone who's involved with end of life care and decisions. It's filled with touching stories and important data. And also Being Mortal, the book by Atul Gawande, had a companion broadcast on Frontline on PBS.
Oh.
So a couple different ways to access that. That's interesting. And I want to go back to that Ta-Nehisi Coates book, Between the World and Me. This is on my list of things that I want to read when I have free time. But this was on your list as well, Josie. This is something that people really are picking up and reading, and people of all different cultural backgrounds.
And it's nice that Vermonters are picking up a book from a black perspective. And
a black father's perspective.
Yeah, and they're coming in learning things and realizing maybe I don't know as much as I think I do, or maybe I am a little bit racist, and maybe I'm subconsciously racist, and it's how the world is from a perspective that we don't often hear from. Black fathers don't get a lot of airtime unless they're doing something wrong. And this is a black guy just trying to do the right thing and talk about it. And it's a very powerful book. It's a slender little book, beautifully, beautifully written, and it's lovely to be able to sell it. And he won the National Book Award.
That's right, just recently.
Yeah.
Liza, did I hear you?
I was just going to say that when it first came out, the timing was amazing. It was going to be later, but it got pushed up because of what was going on in different places around the country. And we in Norwich decided we needed to talk about it. So we started a discussion group and met a number of times and then stopped for the summer. But it's so much food for thought that you have to read it and go back and read part of it again and then talk about it with somebody. It's truly a very important book.
Well, listeners, we want to know if you're reading that or if there are other important books that you are finding sparking discussion for you within your family or in book clubs, book groups, with friends. What is it that you're reading that really is changing your perspective on the world? You can let us know by calling 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. We're talking about books themselves all hour in our winter reading show. And we're talking with Shelburne Shop co-owner Josie Levitt of the Flying Pig Bookstore and Norwich Bookstore co-owner Liza Bernard. And we're hearing from many of you as well, which is awesome. You can tell us what book everyone on your holiday list will be getting this year or what's really sparking discussion for you in your neighborhood. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. Or you can post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net so everyone can see your recommendation. And we will be building a list of all the books that we're talking about on the show today right there. So sometime this afternoon, you can go back to vpr.net and see all of them. Let's go to Jim in Burlington. Hi, Jim. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jane. You had an interview on NPR this month with Mary Louise Parker.
Yeah.
I bought her book to Mr. You.
And what did you think?
Light reading. You can read it in a day. There's a chapter called The Orderly. She just had a baby boy, and the orderly wanted to take her child to the nursery, put it in a bassinet. And she goes on for 5 pages. I won't go any further than that, but any mother who has a son will become a puddle of tears. It's unbelievable the way she writes. That's my recommendation.
Jim, thanks for that. That's the one that Josie was just saying her partner at the bookstore, Elizabeth, also loved, Dear Mr. You by Mary Louise Parker, the actress. Thank you for that recommendation. Our producer, Rick Sangari, took a recommendation from a listener in our summer reading show, and he wanted to mention that. He said the book is The Ghosts of Belfast by Stuart Neville. Rick says, I read it, and it was wonderful, and I would love to thank whomever made the recommendation. So, see, it does work. Your recommendations here lead to people reading the books. Christina in Cornwall says, this summer I heard Angela Narciso Torres read her poetry at the Breadloaf Writers Conference. Her first book, Blood Orange, is a gorgeous first collection of poetry. I love her descriptions of everyday childhood experiences as well as her evocative images of life in distant lands. Mimi in Woodstock has these winter book suggestions. Our Souls at Night by Kent Harouf. In this novel, Addie Moore visits her neighbor, Lewis Waters. Both of their spouses have died, and they live in similarly empty houses, making their nights lonely with no one to talk to. That sounds like a good start to the novel.
Yeah, I second that one. That's an amazing novel. Yeah.
And then Mimi also says God's Kingdom by Howard Frank Mosher, local author, the latest by him. She says, Mimi says, a novel that explores the history of Vermont's Northeast Kingdom and its diverse array of settlers through the eyes of Jim, a member of the Kinnison family. He explores the intertwining stories of his family and other members of the kingdom. Also, we should say that Mimi's pen name is Maxine Kumin, and her memoir, The Pawnbroker's Daughter, received a notable nonfiction book designation from the Washington Post. Mimi, thank you for your suggestion. And so, Liza, you like Our Souls at Night, Mimi's first recommendation, and you, Josie, like the new Mosher
Howard Frank Mosher, he's so solid, you know, and he really evokes the Northeast Kingdom with such love and care that you feel like you're there and the characters just sweep you in. It's a little bit like Hassel Freeman, too, because his new book is so good and totally creepy.
But there's enough humor in both of them that they're both very approachable.
Extremely.
I love Castle Freeman, and I have that his new book, The Devil in the Valley, on my list of books to read. And it's funny because Castle Freeman is another one of those authors that writes slim volumes. And so in some ways, I think I hold on to them longer to read because I'm like, well, I'm just waiting for the right moment where I can sit down in one spell and read this book and really get into it.
That's a smart way to look at it.
But then it makes me wait longer because I'm like waiting for the right moment. But
read
I love
it like
his books.
The first snowstorm morning.
Okay.
That would be, because it's not going to take that long. It's very good.
And it sounds like maybe don't read it at night if it's totally creepy.
I wouldn't read it at night. But I'm a bit of a weenie because it's just going to make you think. Like, and it's also a great conversation order. Like, what would you do if the devil showed up and you're basically happy with your life, but you're a little discontent? Like, what would you do if you got offered everything you wanted? It's interesting.
All right. Okay. Now I'm really eager to read that. Okay. Let's go to Paul in Jay, New York. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hi, Jane. Thanks. I'm calling with a little change of pace or tone. The book that I would recommend is The America's War Machine, Vested Interests, Endless Conflicts, written by James and Holly McCartney, both of whom were reporters in Washington for 30 and 40 years, respectively. And it pretty much traces the history in very accessible and easy to understand terms, what's happened to the military, industrial, congressional, and media complex since Eisenhower's famous 61 speech, written by people who were there and very, very, it's profound, but it also kind of gives you a better idea why maybe we can't afford free health care, but we can't afford, you know, B-2 bombers and big tanks and things. Anyway, it's a great read. And
Paul,
it came out about a month ago.
Thanks for that. So just came out then. America's War Machine is Paul's recommendation. Interesting. And again, goes back to what we were talking about earlier with people wanting to read about the world, about government, about culture. Nicole is the librarian in Sharon. She writes, I can't keep the life-changing magic of tidying up from Marie Kondo on the shelf at my library.
Oh, my God.
She says it's the ultimate decluttering book, and all my patrons have loved it. Perfect Christmas present, mm-hmm. even for non-readers.
This book, I don't understand this. Everyone on my staff except me has read this. Everyone is talking to their sweaters. In a way, they're honoring them. Everyone's folding their socks a certain way, and everyone's so much happier for it. She's got this great way of making decluttering simple and also an honoring process. So when you get rid of things, you say thank you for the way you made me feel, but, you know, your time has come. And it's not like you're not just throwing things in a heap. And it's a little bit of sort of life coaching and just tidying up in a way that works. And it's tiny, and it's a beautiful little gift book.
But you're resisting.
I'm pretty clean. I don't really have a clutter problem except for mail. My clothes are pretty good.
Liza, one other book that you really want to make sure before we end this show that people know about?
Norwich author David McCauley has a new book out, How Machines Work, Zoo Break. And it's very different than his other books in that it is very interactive. Sloth and Senge, who is an elephant shrew, want to escape from the zoo, and they have to use simple machines. And he's got inclined planes that you take out, and he's got things that you move and lift the flap, and you go around the page, and I can't tell you whether they get out or not. That would give away the ending. But it's very creative, and it's fun. And the kids came for his book signing, and they sat for the longest time just figuring out all the different parts of this very complicated page. And it's a really, really fun new nonfiction book for kids.
And it's a great way to teach kids physics.
Yes.
Well,
yeah,
David McCauley is wonderful.
Yeah.
And Josie, one more for you.
Okay, I'm going to pick Stephen Kiernan's book, The Hummingbird, because
got to read his first line.
I got to,
right,
and I knew it was the first
show.
Line.
Yeah,
I want to read that one. It's just such a good book with these three amazing characters: a hospice nurse, her husband who's returning from war with PTSD, and the hospice patient who is just this big curmudgeon, and it's how their lives combine. And there's a backstory of a World War II Japanese fighter pilot. And it just he deals with tough themes in a very accessible way with characters who really linger.
All right. And I'm going to throw one more out there, too. Again, another local author. This came out earlier in the year. It's Jeffrey Lent's book, A Slant of Light. It's a post-Civil War book set in upstate New York. Really wonderful writing. I love reading Jeffrey Lent. He is an author
who I
cannot read him fast, though.
No.
You have to sit with these books and
read him on vacation.
Yeah,
when you've got time to sit.
But
yeah,
this is a
Saver.
Wonderful book. It's called A Slant of Light. Good. I'm glad everybody else agrees. Josie Levitt co-owns the Flying Pig Bookstore in Shelburne. Liza Bernard co-owns the Norwich Bookstore. Thank you so much to both of you. I want to also remind all of our listeners, we'll have a list up this afternoon of all of the books we've talked about on the show. So go to VPR.net and click on Vermont Edition. You can also continue to add your books there. We are happy to have book recommendations all the time. And speaking of great books, tomorrow on the show, we'll be talking with author M.T. Anderson. He has written acclaimed young adult books on subjects from fantasy to satire, and his latest book unfolds the tale of the Russian composer Dmitri Shostakovich. Like Anderson's earlier dystopian novel Feed, this book contains surrealist plots, unrest, and a protagonist facing increasing unease with his government, but this time it's a true story. Send your questions or comments for author M.T. Anderson to Vermont Edition at vpr.net and listen tomorrow at noon. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Singeri and Sam Gail Rosen with production assistance from Hannah Kearns. Mary Williams directed the show, and our theme music was composed by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. Our executive producer is Patty Daniels. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.